You've got questions you're asking. There are answers to be found. This is a new year, new opportunities. Sometimes we find patsies to do the asking for us. Why? Why not? This is Father Voskin. I'm a priest of the Audible Church. We'll be connecting those dots for you today. And I'm inviting you on this episode number 396 of The Next Step to take the next step.
Hi, this is Susie from epostle.net, welcoming you, our worldwide community, to a new episode of The Next Step with Father Voskin. The next step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Voskin provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, as providing an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by Jesus Christ. And most importantly, you don't have to check your brain in at the door to follow Armadoxy. It's a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, good to have you with us today. We are on this side of 2016. Yeah, we've started a new year and we have finished the Christmas season. I don't know, you'd never kind of finish the Christmas season if you're into Armadoxy, right? But you know what I mean. I mean, we've gone through the December 25th, the January 6th. We are at January 7th today in the new year, and I hope it's been a beautiful one for you. It sure has over here. I mean, we in the Southern California area have been going through drought in the last few days. We've had tons of water just splashing all over. And I know this is not a big news elsewhere in the world, but for us, when we get a little bit of water, man, it makes national news, doesn't it? Anyway, today is a sunny day and I'm broadcasting from the Glendale studio and I'm glad to have you aboard. Thank you so much for all the beautiful well wishes in the new year, all of the beautiful sentiments that you've shared with me, with Susie, with our crew over here. Even Ken is smiling today, which is a big accomplishment. You know, if you've gotten him to smile, then my hat's off to you. That's a big accomplishment. All right. Anyway, we've got a good show for you today. I'm glad you liked the song of the day last week. It was a very special one, and we're going to be working on getting the artist and maybe have a little interview with him. We had a bunch of events that took place, including, if you remember last week, we were talking about the Armenian float that went through the Rose Parade. We had a chance to not only see it, but also the destruction of the float. Destruction in a good sense. That's that weekend. Well, the way it works, okay? First of all, they come through Pasadena, these floats, and they just they parade through. It's like a 6-mile route, and we're towards the end. We live like towards the end of the entire route, and so we have an opportunity to see it towards the end. And some of them are kind of mangled up by the time they get to us. Mangled up because they have to go underneath a bridge, and so each float that is higher than the bridge is constructed with these hydraulics, and so they get brought down. The hydraulics come down, and, you know, the hydraulics are such a system that you only get to test it out once, and that's when you need it. So sometimes they don't come back up. Sometimes they get stuck over there. But anyway, sometimes we see these floats that are kind of crippled, but they look so beautiful. Well, Susan and I were walking after the parade a couple days afterwards, because the floats are on display. And we were walking, doing a late night walk, and all of a sudden we see a lot of police action up ahead. We see the lights and, you know, people coming down the street. Well, they were just getting rid of the floats, and we got a chance to see the floats come by in that, you know, used condition, and we saw the Armenian float still shining. It was just beautiful. And it was interesting, because yesterday, being Armenian Christmas, we had a celebration, and our dear senior priest in our church is Father Zavan Arzumanyan, who he's a blessing just to have with us. And he gave the sermon yesterday, and he alluded to the floats. In fact, he even called it by its Armenian name, Dzaga Saylug. Oh, yeah, you're never too old to learn, right? Learned a new word there, Dzaga Saylug. Saylug is basically the sled. Zalig is the flowers. So he was alluding to it. And then I looked around at the service and I noticed that one of the gentlemen who's responsible for putting together the float, actually one of the guys whose brainchild was the float, was in our church in the congregation. So I did a big shout out to him in church. It was just, there was a magic to it. And then we got through the water blessing and a lot of pushing and shoving. But you know what? It is what it is. People wanting that water. Oh, we had water blessing. Maybe I will talk about that in a little bit. But I wanted to start off with some thoughts that went through my head as we were celebrating the Divine Liturgy. I don't know how many priests go through this, but you know, there's a point you get to in life where the celebration of the Divine Liturgy is so sacred, so special, that you internalize and it becomes your private little means of prayer. Sometimes you have no opportunity to pray because your head is with 20 different things, and that's a sad reality. But sometimes there's a magical service, and yesterday was one of those moments. A couple ideas, and one of which I want to start off the show with today, is this idea of questioning God. We were reciting the Nicene Creed. We believe in the Father, the Son, the light of light, true light of true light, God of God, and so on, and the Holy Spirit. We believe in the Church. And as we were reciting those, I thought to myself, you know, the whole idea of incarnation, which was yesterday's feast, as I've shared with you, and if you haven't, you got to go back to the earlier next steps. Just a few weeks ago, I shared with you what the whole idea of Christmas in the Armenian Orthodox faith is. It's not just about nativity, but it's about God being revealed. We have a beautiful word called theophany, which is a translation. Theophany is actually the translation of the Armenian word Astvadza Haidnutyun. Theo, of course, Astvadz, God, and the epiphany or the revelation, theophany, the revelation of God. So on Christmas, Armenian Christmas, which it is customarily it is called, is really a misnomer. The word is Astvadza Haidnutyun. It means God is revealed. And we not only remember the nativity of Christ, the revelation at the nativity, but also we remember the baptism of Christ. And at the baptism, if you read Holy Scripture, you understand that it was the Son of God who was being baptized. It says the Holy Spirit God descended upon him in the spirit of in a dove-like spirit, and the Father pronounced, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am very pleased." And so for that moment, that small little moment in history, the revelation of the Holy Trinity comes to us. The revelation of God, theophany. And as we were going through this, my thoughts were with the words of the incarnation, of how Christ, God didn't give up on us. God loved us so much that he cared about us, that he gave us his only begotten Son. And the questions that stem from that, well, did God only love us? Are there other people? And the usual stuff that I share with you all the time that I cannot handle anymore, you know, like, well, what about this guy? Will he go to heaven? Will he not go to heaven? Those are the questions that people are always concerned about, rather than thinking about, what about the questions of here on earth? Okay, instead of thinking about, will so-and-so go to heaven, which is really not your business, it's really God's business, isn't it? How about, what am I doing in my life to share God's love? How am I reacting with my brothers and sisters? Instead of being concerned about some time to come, can I be concerned about my life right now? And how am I implementing those things that God has given us? And certainly we are human. We fall short of the mark. We miss the mark. And so that element of forgiveness is essential. Because without forgiveness, you get stuck in this quagmire, so to speak. You get stuck in this place that you really don't want to be. Because you can't survive without forgiveness. You see, forgiveness is that magical experience of starting brand new. And that's what baptism is. That's what baptism is. It's the second birth. It's starting brand new. It's being born again. It's starting brand new. With all of your frailties, with all of your problems, with all of your inabilities, let's say. Okay, for a lack of a better word, and I'm intentionally using inability because it relies on our ability, our willingness to do something. But with all of our problems, we have an opportunity to start brand new. In other words, set a mark from which we look forward. Because the reality, and you know, this I think comes to us, by the way, Time Magazine had a really, really good article in there about Buddhist doctrine and the idea of emptiness. And, you know, the idea of living in the eternal present. Can you be in the eternal present? And we come back to the letter E in Armenian Orthodoxy, which is the verb to be. It is the right now. Because you don't have an opportunity to look back and live back. The back is, it's over, right? Past is gone. You can look back, yeah. You can look back. Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, you can look back. But there's not much you can do. Unless you are in you know, some sci-fi movie where you have the option of going back in time, you cannot change the past. And basically, you don't know what the future holds for you. It's really that commitment that you leave it to God. So really, the present, right now, is what you have. And the importance of living in the moment is emphasized in real true religion. And it is something that Christ talked about. It is essential. In fact, it is at the cornerstone of Christ's understanding of our life in this world. That we live right now for this moment. And so over and over when you hear his parables about the talents, about the managers for what you have, it's about taking care of what you have. And this idea of letting go of the past. And this is where you need forgiveness. Baptism is that ultimate forgiveness. But you have that opportunity to continue to be forgiven. So we come up with this formula that has been very important in the Inner Shoes ministry. 7 times 77. Someone says, how many times should I forgive? What if my brother offends me 7 times? Should I forgive him 7 times? Jesus says, not only 7 times, but 7 times 77 times. And I know people can say, well, you know, this is true. I'm going to tell you a true story. I've had people stop me. Because I wear it on my bracelet, the 777s. I have it on a bumper sticker on my car, the forgiveness formula. People stop me, actually. They say, you know, Jesus really didn't say that. He said 7 times 70. Did we miss the mark there? Did we miss the message? It's just like people who argue. You know, we put up on our Facebook that we had Christmas Eve service on December 24th. And certainly, there was a comment there. Since when do the Armenians celebrate Christmas with the Western world? Did somebody miss the point of what we're talking about? It's not about that date. It's about the event that took place. Same way, it's not about 7 times 70. In other words, 490 times I will forgive you. On the 491st time, I won't. No, it's not about 7 times 70, 7 times 77. It's about our ability to forgive because it's our only means by which we go forward. And so through the Divine Liturgy, we have this opportunity to put the past at rest. It's an important concept. In fact, when you look through the prayers of the Divine Liturgy, all of the prayers talk about this forgiveness. And in God's mercy who forgives us, who are we not to forgive others? Who are we not to forgive ourselves? At some point, you have to come to the terms with, yes, I am a sinner. I made mistakes in my life. I need to move forward. And certainly, New Year gives us this opportunity as well. It's a mark in time. It's just a day, right? But it's an important day because it delineates. It says there is a past, which is 2015. There is a new, which is 2016. And you have this moment right now. And you can look out in the distance and you can look at December 25th, 2016 and say, oh man, in 12 months this is going to happen, blah, blah, blah. You can't do that, right? Because you don't have that. You don't know what's going to happen by that day. But you do know what you have right now. That opportunity to live and live to its fullest. So as I'm celebrating the Divine Liturgy, this idea of forgiveness is resonating inside of me. And I'm understanding that, you know, our only means of going forward is by looking at that incarnation as a unique event throughout human history that delineates past from present, from that delineates new from the old. And yes, there is an old way, an old system, but there is a new system, as is inherent by the word itself, right? We talk about the Bible being separated into two parts, Old Testament, New Testament. And I've shared with you many times, really, our strength is in that New Testament. Our hope is in that New Testament. Without that New Testament, Old Testament wouldn't be old and it wouldn't be a testament. It would just be a lot of nice little stories. But the newness is that opportunity to start, that in Christ's revelation, in Christ's birth, in his baptism, we share, you and I, each of us, share in this opportunity to move forward from our past and begin anew. Keep that idea going, okay? I'm going to take a break right now, play the song of the day a little bit early right now, but I'm going to play it right now, and then I'm going to come back and share with you some more ideas about what goes on in the head of a priest as he's celebrating the Divine Liturgy, because some other things opened up to me, too. And believe it or not, it even crossed sections with some politics, although we don't want to admit that. Anyway, here is today's song of the day for the new day, for the new season. Enjoy.
Yes, he's on time.
Did I jumpstart the new year for you? Was that nice? I thought a little gospel was in order. That is, let's see, that is Dottie Peoples doing He's an On-Time God. It is off of the album Living the Gospel, the New Tradition. This is a set of gospel CDs that were given to me by a dear friend, Christine, and she was working for a record company, and she gave me these CDs a few years back. And every so often I'll go to them just to jumpstart myself. You need that little jumpstart. I love the tradition of gospel because it is, there's just so much energy. Now, something that happened last night at the Western Diocese, every year they have Christmas night service. After Christmas, the Archbishop invites the community to come together. And he spoke very beautifully about the concept of community yesterday. But I looked around, and one thing that he was trying, and he succeeded in getting a sing-along with the people, having the people sing some of the hymns. But tragically, you know, some of the hymns of the Armenian Church are interlaced with the story of the Armenian people, and there's a lot of sadness in those hymns as well, in the melodies and the melody lines. And as people were singing uniquely, because of the way the priests are set up in the Armenian church, we're facing the people, you know, and you get to look around and you see that there's an inherent unhappiness in people. And can we really get to that gospel point where we're pushing people to rejoice and celebrate? Well, certainly everything that our church hymns talk about, it's about this rejoicing and celebratory atmosphere that needs to take place in our worship services. And we need to reflect that. We need to be the agents of reflection for that. So I thought I'd start it off with this little gospel jumpstart for the new year. Just a reminder to us that the purpose of our songs, that the purpose of our praise and singing is to rejoice in this opportunity to start brand new. Imagine you have an opportunity to start brand new. You have an opportunity with the baptism, with Christ's baptism, with your baptism, with the reception of the Holy Communion, to start brand new. Put things in their proper perspective and order. In our church, we have this banner that was prepared during the 100th anniversary. It was the wording which I had come up with a few years back when we first started playing with the idea of we're approaching our 100th anniversary of genocide. It's to honor the past, to recognize today, and thereby build your tomorrows, forge your tomorrows. And certainly it's understanding your place and in the present, how important that present is. Yes, there is a lot of past. Sometimes it could be called baggage. Sometimes it could be called things to be honored. It's the Christian that's able to look at that past and honor it and move forward. And that moving forward is an important, if not important, then say the most viable option that we do have. It's our means of going forward. So there you have it. He is an on-time God is the name of the song. There will be a link on our show notes to that song as well as the album. Hope you'll check it out.
My mind is clearer now. At last, all too well, I can see where we are. If you strip away.
Well, as we were going through the service yesterday, the Theophany service, and getting ready for the water blessing, or listening to the chants, and as you put yourself in the prayer life of the church, you not only listen, but you engage in a conversation. And this conversation is sometimes underplayed, but it's important that you understand in your prayer life, you are really in a conversation with God in which you have the forgiver of all forgivers. So go ahead, push yourself. Push yourself and ask the questions. There is a phenomena that's taking place here in the United States. I don't know those of you outside of the United States if you're hearing about it or if you're just hearing about the sensationalism of it, but there is a candidate, namely a Donald Trump, was kind of taken the media by surprise, taken people by surprise. And what's unique about him is that he gets up and he makes these offhand comments. He just gets out there and he'll sensationalize a comment. He'll say something and people get all wound up about it. And then when you go and you ask people, and this is the phenomena that I'm talking about, is that the phenomena is that he's become very popular, and the phenomena is that people, when you go out and ask him, well, what do you like about Donald Trump? He's saying the things that we're thinking about. Interesting, huh? And I'm not talking about one or two people. I'm talking, this is phenomenal. People are talking in these terms. Well, I like Donald Trump because, why? Because he's saying the things that I'm thinking about. Well, in other words, we're admitting that there are certain things that we think about, but are too ashamed of, too embarrassed, or too scared to articulate. And here's a man who's talking about it. Now, I'm not going to make him a hero because I'm far from him ideologically or what he's doing. But I'm talking about the phenomena of what's going on with the Trump. And it's the idea that somebody else is doing your work for you. And I was thinking about that because as we go through the Divine Liturgy, as you go through the prayers, and especially the Nicene Creed, you start thinking about Christ and his incarnation. He reached out to so many people through this event that took place 2,000 years ago, through this revelation of Christ being born in our lives. God is interacting with people. And what are the questions that we have? Well, about 40 years ago, 45 years ago, now that I think about it, 46 years ago, holy moly, is this old? Am I aging? Jeez, what is going on? A very popular rendition of the Jesus story came out, and I was a young kid when it came out, and I was glued to it. It really caught me. Jesus Christ Superstar. And in it, you have questions that maybe in the same way we're too embarrassed or too scared to ask, that are being asked. And it occurred to me, why were we okay with these questions being asked? For instance, in the song Jesus Christ Superstar, you have a resurrected Judas. This is after his death. Comes back and he asks some very important questions. Every time I look at you, I don't understand why you let the things you did get so out of hand. Why you let the things you did get so out of hand. In other words, you know, you came here with a simple message of love, and now it's gotten out of hand to the point that they want to crucify you, that they're going to put you up on a cross. You'd have managed better if you had it planned. Now, why do you choose such a backward time and in such a strange land? If you'd come today, you could have reached the whole nation. Israel in 4 BC had no mass communications. Well, they got the timing right, too. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah, 4 BC. I mean, hey, think about it. If Jesus had incarnated now, God had incarnated now. Wow, you have mass communications. You have the internet. You can get the message out way faster than you could from 4 BC. I mean, if you had this big plan of life, I mean, wouldn't you think like this is a better time to do that? It's a question. It's a question that's being asked. Why are we okay with that question? I mean, okay in the sense that Jesus Christ Superstar became a phenomena, became this beautiful rock opera that people still today in droves, in masses, go and attend and still sells records. It's a question that you and I were probably afraid, scared, embarrassed to ask. But somebody was asking it for us. Who? Think about that for a moment, okay? Tell me what you think about your friends at the top. Now, who do you think beside yourself was the pick of the crop? Buddha, was he where it's at? Is he where you are? Could Muhammad move a mountain, or was that just PR? Did you mean to die like that? Was that a mistake? And then bringing it today, did you know that your messy death would be a record breaker? Interesting, huh? Well, we're okay with these questions. Why? Okay, I'm going to give you one more hint to this question. This is going on in my head. Okay, we're listening to the Nicene Creed, and we're thinking like, okay, he incarnated. We're celebrating theophany. We're celebrating the birth of Christ. Christ in our lives. Could it have been done better? Could it have reached more people? How could it have reached? Well, the opera itself begins with a questioning. And that question, it's important, not just the questioning, but who's questioning? Well, it turns out it's Judas. Now, why is this important? Well, because we allow Judas to make those questions, because it's not us, first of all. We're too embarrassed to ask these questions. But it goes on in your head, and hence the popularity of the song, right? I think about that for a moment, right? Just think about it before you say, well, I didn't. No. These are questions that people legitimately have asked through the centuries. And the opera, you know, here it is, in an artistic manner, asking those questions that people are ashamed to ask. He says, my mind is clearer now. This is Judas talking. At last I can see all too well where we all soon will be. If you strip away the myth from the man, you will see where we all soon will be. Jesus, you've started to believe the things they said of you. You really do believe this talk of God is true. There it is. There's the question. Is this really true? Is there something beyond us? Is there something in our lives for which we have been placed on this earth? Is there a purpose to our lives? He goes on, and all the good you've done will soon be swept away. You've become to matter more than the things you say. Listen, Jesus, I don't like what I see. All I ask is that you listen to me. And remember, I've been your right-hand man all along. You have set them all on fire. They think they found a new Messiah, and they'll hurt you when they find that they're wrong. I remember when the whole thing began, no talk of God. Then we called you a man, but believe me, my admiration for you hasn't died. But every word you say today is twisted around some other way. And they'll hurt you if they think you've lied. And he goes on. Maybe you would have been better if you had stayed as a carpenter, and so on. Now, what I'm sharing with you is basic questions that people have about the Christian story. And we have them, much like many of the opinions that we have, deep down in our hearts, and we question these. But we're ashamed. But it's okay in this sense, in this opera, in this artistic mouthpiece for us. Why? Because it is in the form of Judas. Judas is the one who is asking these questions. Well, okay, let him ask, and we will go along for the ride. We'll listen to what answers he gets. You see, it's not us, but it's some guy who's already been condemned. It's already some guy that we know he basically betrayed the Lord. And so, okay, let him ask. And you know, this is our way of tossing the responsibility off of ourselves. And so perhaps the greatest thing that you can do in your prayer life is to not be afraid to ask those questions, not to be embarrassed, and that confidence in asking that questions begins with your idea of forgiveness. You know that God wants to be in a loving relationship with you. You know that He wants you to be in a father-child relationship, parent-child relationship. Well, think about it in parenting. Think of it with your children. Think a bit of it how you react to your children. Well, as they're kids, they ask all kinds of questions. How come I can't get that cereal? Well, look at it. It's all filled with sugar. Yeah, but I like it. I like those little Cocoa Puffs. They're filled with sugar and cocoa. Yeah, they're good for me. No, they're not. And you develop this, and this is the most mundane of all examples. But then let's go on beyond that, right? And when it comes down to the actual salvation of our souls, we ask these questions. God, are you really in control? God, do you know what's going on? There's terrorism out there. There's a refugee problem beyond what we can imagine. Where are you? Are you controlling that too? I mean, you came and you took care of so many people. We read of all these miracles. Where is your time for miracles in our lives? Are we going to see that? Will we have an opportunity to see that? Will we rise from the condition that we are? Will there be peace on earth? These are the questions that we ask deep down in our hearts, but are perhaps afraid to articulate. And so you find the patsy, you find a Judas. And we write it into a script. We put it in his words. We put it in his mouth. Let him ask. It's okay. And we will listen in. We will listen in. And I've found the parallel with the Trump phenomena that's going on to be remarkable, right? Trump gets out there and he mouths off about things like that. And people come and say that, well, this is what we really believe. But we're ashamed to ask these questions, to talk about these issues. Well, when it comes to God, there is no shame. There is nothing that you need to be embarrassed of. He knows the deepest, darkest corners of your heart, in your soul, the problems that you've gone through. And that God is one who engages in a loving relationship with you because of the power of forgiveness. He's saying, listen, life is tough. That's why you have to forgive 7 times 77 times. Not because there's some magic to the number, but the magic is that you have an opportunity to start again. That's what New Year's is. That's what Theophany is. That's what each communion is. That's what each prayer is. When you come down on your knees and you ask for that forgiveness. And it has to be a forgiveness between you and God. Because people are people. God is God. Yeah, those questions that you're asked, that Trump is asking, you should be ashamed if you're thinking about those things. Some of them are just outright ludicrous. Not some of them. Anyway, don't get into the politics now. But when it comes to God, don't be afraid to ask those questions. I think that that is the healthy relationship. When you start this new year and you're looking for health in your life, I mean, everybody that you talk to, just about everybody, you know, makes these resolutions for the new year. And usually has to do with health. The health of spirit and soul is also important. And it begins with a healthy dialogue with your Creator, to be able to engage in those conversations with God, to be able to talk with Him, to be able to share with Him, to be able to feel confident that when He says, yes, you are forgiven, that you are forgiven, that it is a new opportunity. It is a new opportunity to begin again, to start again. And when you really think about it, when we talk about the eternal present, about living in the present, that's all it is. It's an opportunity to start brand new. What was that cute little saying that we used to be on bumper stickers all the time? Today is the first day of the rest of your life. Yeah, so true. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. And your rest of your life may be limited. It might be in the next hour. It might be in the next 10 years. It might be in the next 30 years. Whatever the time limit is, you don't know. But you do know that you have that confidence that comes from somebody who cannot lie. I love you, He says. I care about you. And you're forgiven. It starts brand new. And it's with that meditation that I celebrated the Divine Liturgy. It was a difficult one. It was difficult because it brought together the idea of renewal. It brought together the idea of sacrifice, of God caring so much, loving me so much, engulfing me with that love to the point that He's given His all. Now, can we take that? Can we take that as our mantra, as our meditation for the rest of the year and for the rest of our lives? You know, when I talk to you about Armadoxy, it's really looking at the essence of the faith without all the hoopla. There's too much hoopla. Strip away that hoopla and you'll find that faith that Christ gives us is something that you can bank on, you can count on. And with that confidence, you approach each and every moment, each and every situation in your life. Happy New Year. Here's Susie to tell you a little bit more about what we do over here. And I'm going to come back and share with you some exciting stuff that's happening in this coming year.
Hi, this is Susie for In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we must avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at epostle.net. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Well, thank you, Susie, for that reminder, and thank you, all of you, for your generous donations, your support, your love, and your kind wishes and prayers. Those prayers go a long way in answering a call of getting this message out, getting this ministry to continue. Let me tell you, as we prepare for the coming year in front of us, yeah, you never know what's ahead of you, but you do know that you can plan for some beautiful things to spread this message out. Coming up this year, we have an opportunity. Gor Mkhitaryan, who we've worked with many times in the past, he is going to be debuting a brand new album, and it is produced by In His Shoes Ministries. You're going to hear it in the next few months. We're looking forward to maybe in June. Set your sights on June. Wouldn't it be great to meet in Armenia? We're going to see if we can maybe get out there and do a set of concerts and be with the people. An opportunity to really spread some more of the goodness that we do over here. As you remember, last year, In His Shoes transitioned in as an organization with the new website, and we're still transitioning. I mean, there's still some parts that have to be updated and looked at and revisited organizationally. I don't want to get too complicated because our commitment really is to Armadoxy. Our commitment is to the ministry that we believe in, this ministry of Christ's love. And finding that. And so in that process, we need the mechanism by which we're going to be working the details out to that. And so we're praying about it. Your prayers, our prayers together. They're giving us the direction. I so love hearing from you. I so am energized by the goodness that you share with us, because it gives us the energy to move forward, to know that this message of Armadoxy is really, really touching the lives of so many people. So I'm very thankful. I'm very hopeful as I look out in the new year. And we know that there's a lot of scary parts too, as in anything in transition. There's some fear elements over there. And I'm going to end with this small little quote that was reiterated yesterday during the sermon that Father Zavin gave. He quoted this small passage that Jesus said in Armenian. It's so beautiful. Mi yergunchik hod pokrig. Do not fear, small flock. When you think about it, it's not about the quantity. It's not about big flock. It's about small flock. Doing those small steps, taking those small steps and making the impact out there. You don't live to make the impact. You do what you understand and you bring to the table, and you find the goodness in your life and you want to share it with people. We definitely have found that. I shared with you a few years ago when I returned back from Armenia the idea of the pearl. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of this great pearl. And once finding it, he sells everything just so that he can acquire that pearl. If you find the kingdom of God, if you find that goodness, if you find the presence of God, it's really worth your time to put into action the things that you understand to be working in your lives. And you know, life is, unfortunately, I can't think of a different word to use at this point, it's an experiment. Life is an experiment. As much as you hear people talk about, you have to learn from your past, and you know, we have history, those who do not learn from history are condemned to repeat it. Yeah, we understand all that, but also we do make mistakes, and so we are part of that history process too. And the history that you have personally, you use that and you move forward. And so, In His Shoes, Armadoxy, it all comes together in this opportunity that we call the next step, basically taking the next step. So, I thank you for joining us again here in 2016. I looked at the number as we were putting together today's show. We are at episode number 396. Guess what? Four more episodes and we will be at 400. What should we do? Well, in Armenian terms, you have a dinner dance. You have a dinner party. We're not going to have a dinner dance. We're going to do some dancing and celebrations in different ways. And I think those of you who listen and those of you who know what we're all about kind of have an idea of where we're going to go with that. We've got some great things going. And you know what? Every so often somebody, not every so often, all the time, people say, well, what are we doing? What is the next step? What is the next step? You know what? You got to kind of just trust. You got to just trust that it will flow. That flow is an important one. People underestimate the power of the flow. I think I shared with you last week, we were doing some dancing, and Shaki Major Chilingirian was teaching. And I think the beauty of that, if you talk to anybody who was present at her workshop, was the idea that it really wasn't a workshop. You know, when you go to a dance workshop, you're ready to say, okay, right foot here, left foot there, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 4. And it really wasn't about that. It was really letting the music guide you, let the experience of life guide you, and you get through. It's being part of that flow. And that flow is really another word for life. Enjoy it. Savor it. Take advantage of it. Exploit it. It's in front of you. It's your life. And it's God working with you to make that life a beautiful one. I'm going to end today with those parting shots. I want to thank you for joining us. Do get in touch with us during the week at themothershipinissues.org, as well as on Facebook. We are at the St. Peter Armenian Church page on Facebook, as well as In His Shoes, as well as epostle.net. And all of these things come together to just share this beautiful message that we have for you. So on behalf of the team that put together today's show, Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, this is Father Vosken in 2016, inviting you to join us again next week to take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take your breath, cut out!